Oh, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jordan Roybert, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now, Jordan, let's start off with the gold price. I have a weekly chart here of gold, and quite frankly, the chart still looks fairly strong to me. Gold did have at least up January, although it did sell off at the very end of January, and right now in February, we're, I guess, arguably just trading in this higher range that is, I think, always encouraging for if you want to believe this is an early stage bull market. Take us through what some of your technicals are telling you about gold and where you see the price moving in the near term.
Well, Corey, looking at the technicals of gold, what concerns me is there's a couple things. First of all, the non-confirmations with silver and the gold stock. So they have not confirmed the January strength in gold, and gold basically moving above its September high, gold moving above 1550. So that little bit of strength over the last month or so has not been confirmed by the other markets. In addition to that, I would say on the fundamental side, I don't see a monetary driver for gold right now because inflation expectations have come off quite a bit, and of course, that has brought rate cuts back into the picture, which is good for gold and precious metals, but a rate cut is not imminent. I think the cut needs to be imminent for the market to really begin to discount it and move in that regard. I mean, remember the first rate cut in this cycle, I think was in June or July, if I'm wrong, I can't remember, but the market didn't really start moving up until the end of May. So even if the Fed is going to cut rates in June or July, you know, that's still 4 or 5 months away. So that's still a lot of time where the market can act differently and you know, follow day-to-day rate cut expectations. So I know I got a little bit away from the technicals of gold, but, you know, that's how I see it. I think the key level for gold is 1540. So if we see gold close below 1540, it is then at risk of, you know, coming down to potentially 1480, 1490-ish. And the 200 moving average is at 1459, and that's moving up pretty aggressively. So if gold continues to consolidate, I wouldn't rule out an eventual test of the 200-day moving average by the time it gets to the high 1400s. But, I mean, 1540 is the key level, that January low. If gold continues to hold above that, you know, it's going to be building a bullish base. So, I mean, it's a similar picture for the miners. I mean, we're consolidating at a pretty high level, but it's a little too early to call it a bullish consolidation. It could be a bearish consolidation.
Okay, so really is time is just what we need right here, because these charts really are just trading in a tight range, especially the stocks. You look at GDX, GDXJ, they're less volatile right now and just bouncing in this tight range. Just a quick comment, though, regarding what's happening with the dollar. I find it encouraging that gold is holding up quite nice as the U.S. dollar continues to move higher. It's closing in now on that 99 level. I know that there isn't always this inverse correlation, and quite frankly, I think that you can make the argument that money is flowing into the U.S. dollar also as kind of a safety play more than anything, which is also an argument for gold, why gold is doing well. What do you think? How are you comparing the moves in the dollar and gold still hanging up at this higher level?
That's an excellent point, Corey. I would just say we've gotten to a point where a stronger dollar is actually bullish for precious metals, because a stronger dollar is going to lead to lower interest rates, which then will lead to more Fed rate cuts. That's basically a simple fact of the matter. A stronger dollar is bad for the rest of the world. It's bad for U.S. corporations, which make most of their profits overseas. And the economy, you know, unlike in 2014 and 2015, when the dollar got really strong, the economy is not on the footing that it was then. So you get a stronger dollar, it's not good, and it necessitates easier policy and rate cuts from the Fed. So that to me explains why precious metals, gold specifically, I should say, has been holding up really well with the strength of the dollar. And the gold price in foreign currencies, I mean, I haven't checked it in recent days, but I think a week or two ago it made a new all-time high you know, that is probably trading very close to its all-time high. So, I mean, gold is just extremely strong around the world, you know, when you remove the U.S. dollar from the equation.
Okay, and that's actually been a story for a couple of years now, but I just find it interesting that gold is starting to do generally better as well against the U.S. dollar, not having that downward pressure that it sometimes could as the dollar moves higher. I want to look at the GDXJ chart and the SIL chart right now, because there was one nuance that happened at the tail end of the year that was a little different than the GDX chart especially, and it correlated well, actually, with that gold pop. Now, these moves did happen more or less on the back of some unexpected, almost black swan events, but with GDXJ and SIL at the tail end of December, they both moved higher to higher levels than they had been all in 2019. There any significance there that we had the junior miners and the silver stocks almost leading the way at the end of the year?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. You know, there could be. It's just too early to tell. I mean, if we see, you know, if we see GDXJ continue to hold above 40 and SIL hold above 30, which are their, you know, lows they made at the very beginning of this month, if they continue to hold above that low, then I would say it's significant, because then these ETFs are continuing to lead the sector. But, you know, if they lose those levels, we could see more of a correction in the sector. And then their leadership at the very end of last year will kind of be, I guess, less significant than we could say. So unfortunately, I think it's one of those things where it's really too early to say. And, you know, looking, you know, when we're a year or two into the future, it'll be easier to know if it meant something or not. But long story short, I'd focus on those levels. Again, that's, and in closing terms, about 40 for GDXJ and 30 for SIL. See if they hold above those or not.
All right, so Jordan, if we just recap, what could be the major drivers here for the gold market and the potential of another breakout outside of some black swan event that maybe takes hold of the market a little bit harder or longer than the couple that we already had this year? Does it really just come down to the Fed, and not just expectations that the Fed will be cutting rates? Because I think the market right now is pricing in about a 1.5 rate cuts for the rest of this year. Does it just matter when the Fed finally does start to cut some rates, if they do that this year?
Yes. I mean, I am a man of, I am not a man of few words, as you and the listeners know. But that's basically the reality. Look, stepping back for a second, for the most part, gold is driven by falling or negative real interest rates, which means you either need a rise in inflation expectations or lower rates and Fed rate cuts. And at the beginning of the year, I thought that, you know, there could be a shot where inflation expectations rise, you know, the dollar rolls over, and we see inflation picking up and the Fed will just stand pat, real rates will go down because of that. You know, now it appears that, given the strength in the dollar, given commodities rolling over, inflation expectations rolling over, given all of that, you know, you have the market pricing in, as you said, 1.5 rate cuts from now until the end of the year. So that appears to be the next catalyst for precious metals. And we can track this day by day, and it'll just depend. I mean, you go back to last year, the market didn't react to the first cut, you know, until like a month or two before it happened. So right now, I think the earliest we'd get a cut is June or July. So that tells you that unless some, you know, that there's not going to be a catalyst for precious metals until the month or two leading up to the potential first rate cut. However, if, you know, we see a 10 or 15% correction in the stock market, economic data starts getting worse, you know, those types of things. If those things happen over the next couple months, then that could, you know, lead the market to pricing in even more than two rate cuts. And in that scenario, you know, the market could price in a rate cut in June, you know, and it could just be firm a couple months before it happens. So, I mean, that those are the kind of things that could be a potential catalyst ahead of the rate cut. Otherwise, if those factors are not strong enough, it's probably going to be the actual rate cut itself.
Okay. And yeah, again, these rate cuts can, in a way right now, with the way that the Fed has set it up, really come about just in a matter of a couple weeks or a month. But right now, it doesn't seem like the Fed is in any rush to cut rates. Just a quick comment, though. You mentioned real rates and what actually matters there. You don't see any inflation, at least drastically, picking up this year, or at least in the near term?
Well, Corey, I could be wrong, but I mean, I like to follow the market indicators of inflation, and it's going to be difficult to see that with the dollar doing what it's doing. A lot depends on oil. I haven't looked at that in a little while, but you know, if the dollar is stronger and commodity prices, including oil, are not moving higher, it's going to be difficult for inflation to really accelerate or get more traction.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Jordan, we're going to wrap it up there. Interesting comments. There's really not much more to say about the charts for the precious metals and these precious metals stocks. I know we can try to look at different indicators, but fact of the matter is they are trading in a tighter and tighter range. I think a breakout in one direction will come relatively soon. I think maybe later part of this month or into next month. But until that breakout happens, yeah, these charts, again, it's just in a range. It's encouraging that it's more at setting up higher ranges, but the next pop, you know what? Still so much depends on the Fed, and we'll see where investors feel confident putting their money. Jordan, great chatting with you. Have a great rest of your week.